Good morning. Have you ever played with Play-Doh? It's so much fun. I loved it when I was a kid. The colors, the smell, you can just roll things, and this was very therapeutic, and still is. So when I thought of the story of the potter, I would always think about Play-Doh, because you can make something and then squish it and make something again. And then I had the opportunity to go down to MCS Clay Studios and really try to make some pottery. Good morning, I'm Kathy Hart. I'm the associate minister here at Palm Harbor United Methodist Church. And I want to share with you this morning lessons that I learned from the potter. But it's very, very different. It's much harder, and I have a great appreciation for those with the gift of art. And Jeremiah was invited by God to go down to the potter's house and to observe the work of the potter. So I want to share those lessons with you today, but before that, I want to give a little history about Jeremiah and what was happening in the time that he went to the potter's house. Jeremiah was a prophet between 626 BC and 586 BC. And this was around the time of the fall of Jerusalem. His main message was repentance, judgment, and restoration. The people of Israel had once again turned their back on God. And through powerful kings and corrupt kings, they were led into idolatry worship. Jeremiah saw the downfall of his nation as they fell away from God and turned towards Baal and other gods. And they fell into war, into judgment, into exile to Babylon. But Jeremiah was still called to preach faithfully the word of God, which he did. And then God called him to go down to the potter's house to teach him a lesson as well. So this morning, we get to go down to the potter's house as well. For I have invited Martha Stoltz, our house potter, to join me this morning. And she's going to sit at the potter's wheel. So while I am preaching, feel free to focus on the potter, just like Jeremiah did. And maybe you will hear a message from God just by watching her. The first lesson that I want to share with you is that the potter is present. One of the first things that I learned, or one of many things that I learned at MCS Clay Studios, is that you have to really be focused on what you're doing. If you are not paying attention, because you got the foot pedal and the wheel has to spin just the right speed, and you've got to make sure that your clay is just so on the spinning wheel thing. And the hardest thing for me to grasp was the concept of the constant pressure that you have to put. Once you get the center and you start building the walls and you're pulling the clay up, there was something that I never quite got right with your thumb that you're supposed to do that keeps the pressure even throughout as you're spinning. And that keeps the walls even. And it just takes a split second of looking and seeing what somebody else is doing, and then your wall falls. So you have to be constantly focused and paying attention. God is with us. Now, he does not put pressure on us, but he does not ignore us either. He is with us. So much so that when the angel came to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1 to tell Joseph, this is what you name your child, he said, you will name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. The potter is always present, guiding, gently nourishing us through. It is by his grace that he shapes us, forms us, corrects any warpedness that might be starting to form. And I found a definition of grace many years ago in the Wesley Study Bible that just has stuck with me. And it says, grace is God's active and transforming presence in our lives. Does that not describe the work of the potter? He is active, always guiding gently, tenderly, patiently. That's the second lesson I learned, is you have the potter is patient. So I, as the potter, was not always a patient potter. I wanted my creation now, kind of like the Play-Doh, you know, just make it and there it is, poof. No, it takes time to build this creation, to take every step gently, and we would lose our patience, we who were in the class together. And the walls would fall, and something would happen. One side was thicker than the other, and so then I learned patience from Martha, because we'd all go, Martha! And she'd come over, just ever so quietly, ever so patiently, and she'd go, start your wheel. And then she'd just place her hands in the clay with mine, and she would fix what I had done. And then there you go. So the potter is patient. We learn this from, and Scripture tells us in 2 Peter 3:9, how patient God is. The Lord isn't really slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. God doesn't want anyone to fall away. He doesn't want to lose any of his children. And the vision of the potter is to restore his image within us. That's his plan. And he is so patient to see that come to life. Jeremiah's message was to repent, to turn back to God, to turn away from our sins. But God is just ever so gently, with one hand on the pot, guiding and gently directing us. God is patient. A third lesson is that the potter gives life. In the creation story, God took dust from the earth, breathed life into it. What is clay but dust mixed with water and soil and minerals? And God breathes life into us, into all of creation. And water is a key factor. You must keep, that's another thing I learned, is you must keep the clay moist. If it dries out, it begins to crack and becomes less pliable. Water gives life to the clay, and water gives life to us. Jesus offers us living water. In John 7:38, he says this, anyone who believes in me, come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. This living water is the Holy Spirit. God gives us, the potter gives us the gift of his Spirit so that he is with us always. The Spirit dwells within us, guiding us, directing us, reshaping us, molding us. Now we're going to take a moment and we're going to shift from the potter to the clay. And this is where the analogy breaks down a little bit, because clay has no mind of its own. We, however, as the clay, do. And as the clay, we must be centered. Now, if you've been watching Martha a little bit, the first thing she does is she makes sure that that lump of clay is right at the center of the wheel. If the clay is not centered, you get something that looks like this, spinning around on the wheel. Have you ever felt your life's going like that sometimes? So what is our center? Going back to the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah tells us what we should be centered on and what the centered life looks like. In Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8, he says this, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Centered people trust God, and he is their hope and confidence." And this is what happens when you're centered. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the what? The water, the living water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Friends, when we are centered on the Lord, when he is our foundation and we are rooted down deep, we can face anything this world has to throw at us. Now, God does not promise us a world without troubles, but he promises to hold us up through them, to stay present in our lives with him, and to give us the living water for strength and endurance. So I ask you today, where do you put your trust and your hope? What is your center? For many in our world, it's self. We are focused and centered on what's in it for me. Maybe your center is a parent or a pastor, a friend, a leader. They will all fail you at some point in time. But God, as your center, never fails. Put your center, put your focus, put your life in the hands of the potter, our rock, in Jesus. The next lesson is probably the hardest one, not for the clay in a clay studio to learn, but for us. The clay must bend. The clay must bend to the hand of the potter. Now, words like surrender, relinquish, submit, I'm watching the hairs stand up on the back of your necks. We don't like to hear those words. We don't want to let go of control. But that is exactly what needs to happen if the potter is going to create something beautiful in your life. I would propose, however, the culture teaches us that those words mean weakness. But I would propose the opposite. It takes great strength and courage to surrender, to let go of that control. There's such fear when you let go of control. What's going to happen? We've kind of lived in that the last several years. It is only when we bend to the will of God that the beauty that he can create in our life, what he intends us to be, can come forth. Jesus taught us how to pray. We say the Lord's Prayer every week here. And in that, Jesus taught us to say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." When you say that, when you pray that, when you sing that later in this service, pay attention to those four little words. Your will be done. Do we really believe that? And if we believe that, do we live our lives that way? Bending to the hand of the potter allows him to create his vision in our life, to shape us into his image, to change the world. Jeremiah's whole message was to the nation of Israel. And God wanted to reshape Israel, but we can apply this to our lives as well. Jesus also said in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was about to be arrested, "Not my will, but thy will." May that be your prayer today. But you know what? We are stubborn people. We like to resist. And when the clay resists, the pottery becomes imperfect, marred, damaged. Now, a talented potter can fix that, can correct those while the clay is still centered and filled with the living water. But what happens? You know, in Martha's class, we only had an hour. God has a lifetime to shape us, right? Thankfully, he is patient. But we only had an hour. So at the end of an hour, it was kind of like, okay, this is the finished product. It may not be my vision that I wanted, but this is the finished product. And it's about as good as it's going to get. So this is one of my creations. I told Martha, I said, I feel a little embarrassed putting them all up there with yours. But she, again, the patient potter, was very filled with grace. But now, it's hard. It's been fired. I can't, there's a spot on here. Can we fix this, Martha? No. And sometimes this is what we become. We become embittered, resentful, proud, stubborn. And it's like we've put ourselves into the kiln and we can't change. Once it's fired, it's done. I also think sometimes we can become self-righteous, that I'm good. I'm a good person, I follow God, I go to church every Sunday, I don't need the potter to change anything else. I'm okay, I'm done. I don't know that that's God's will for you. In fact, I know that's not God's will for you. He wants to continue to mold and shape and change. So this is what happened to the people of Israel. They didn't want to have anything to do with God anymore. And Jeremiah is preaching his heart out, and he's telling them, repent, turn back to God. Their response in Jeremiah 18:20 is, don't waste your breath. We will continue to live as we want to, stubbornly following our own evil desires. So then God tells Jeremiah to go back to the potter's house. This time you're not going to observe. This time I want you to buy a piece. Look at her over here. She's made two things on her third thing already. She's so good. And instead of observing, I want you to buy something from the potter's house. And so Jeremiah picks something, and then he goes and he tells the Israelites one more time, repent, turn back to God, put yourself into the hands of the potter, and let him repair you, restore you. Oh, Israel. And again, they would not. So God instructed him, don't worry, Martha, I'm not going to do it, to drop the bowl. And it shattered. Now it's totally broken, totally hard. What can we do? The final lesson is that the clay is transformed. Well, how do you transform something that's been broken? We've seen and we've watched how it can be molded and shaped when the living water is breathing through it and flowing through it and you're centered and the potter is present. Yes, all that transformation can take place. God is all about taking what is broken and making it new. He does not want anyone to perish. In Ezekiel 36, he says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. He can transform our brokenness into beauty, but how can the potter repair all these broken pieces once it's shattered? Let's not forget who the potter is. The potter can do all things. And the main themes in Jeremiah are repent, judgment, and restoration. Much of the book of Jeremiah is gloom and doom, but the last chapters are about restoring Israel, a promise, a new covenant. And God will restore his holy people once again. God can take what once was broken, and so perhaps the potter can take these broken pieces and put them back together. There is a beautiful Japanese art in pottery called kintsugi. It's where broken pieces are put back together with lacquer flecked with gold. And it is in the brokenness that there is beauty. And the work of the artist made a broken thing beautiful. Cannot the potter do the same for us? He can see the finished product that he has for you and for your life. And he wants to restore the image of God within each of us. His work is not done. He is constantly spinning, centering, patiently guiding, transforming us into his image. He is patient and gentle. And again, no matter how many times the wall falls or something goes wrong, he will restore. I mean, if you think about it, that's what happened. God gave new beginnings to Abraham, to Moses, to David, to Jonah, and to Peter when they all failed. And he could do the same for us. Remember that God's grace is always present with you. It is his active and transforming presence in our lives. He is present. He is patient. He gives you life. We need to remain centered and bend to the hand of the potter. Today, we have the privilege of experiencing this active and transforming presence, this grace, through the sacrament of Holy Communion. So as you come to the table today, I invite you to come to center yourself on the potter and to bend to his will. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another.
Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Let's take a moment of silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Now the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
It is right let us give our thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You are the potter, and we are the clay. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, spoke to us through your prophets, and remained with us, waiting patiently for us to return to you. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, your own Son, who came among us as a servant to be Emmanuel, your presence with us. He humbled himself in obedience to your will and freely accepted death on a cross. By the baptism of his suffering and death and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. And on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, he gave thanks, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Christ will come again. Pour out your living water, the Holy Spirit, on us and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to the whole world until Christ comes again in final victory, and we will feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
As you prepare to come to the table, please see the stations that are near you. I'd like to ask the communion servers to come forward at this time. And you will receive the bread and the cup, and there are receptacles for you to throw things away. If you need someone to come serve you, please raise your hand. And they're also gluten-free at each station, so just let the servers know. As we get the table set, please come.